This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. John Hoadley has represented the 60th State House District for the past 2 years. The Democrat is running for re-election in the district that includes the city of Kalamazoo, as well as parts of the city of Portage and Kalamazoo Township. John Hoadley, thank you very much for being here.
Well, thanks, Gordon. Thanks for having me.
So reintroduce yourself to the audience. Tell us about yourself.
So my name's John Hoadley. I've been so honored to represent the 60th District for the past 2 years. I come from a family of teachers, so education's been one of my top priorities. And as a small business owner, I've tried to focus on issues that really helped us reinvest in our small businesses and back in our community. And then, of course, I've been a champion of the environment and social justice issues. So if you look at my legislative record, those are the areas where I've really been focusing. And at the end of the day, I hope that we can create a Michigan that invests in people and in our communities.
So kind of give us an idea, what would you like to do if you get 2 more years in the State House that maybe you have not been able to accomplish yet?
I believe that Michigan needs to have a critical conversation about the way that we fund our communities and our government. At the end of the day, we've seen cut after cut of the funding that goes back to places like Kalamazoo or our townships or the city of Portage. And that has resulted in some really tough choices. And at the same time, state government's been growing. Our tax structure, our economic structure is based on a 1950s model of taxation. And as a result, we have a shrinking number of people paying an increasing amount. We need to modernize that so we can then start investing in the parts of our state and our community that'll create a global economic powerhouse for Michigan. That means that we need to do more to make college affordable and invest in things like higher education, which is not keeping up with the pace it needs to. We need to be reinvesting in the places that make our communities unique by putting more money into our roads and our infrastructure as well as our parks. And then at the end of the day, I would love to go back to some issues that continue to stall in the legislature. Things like expanding the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act to protect all people from discrimination based on their sexual orientation and gender identity. Or some common sense gun prevention policies like expanding universal background checks. These are things that I would love to accomplish in the next couple of years.
What do you mean by state government is growing? In what way is state government growing?
If you look at the revenue at the state level, it continues to grow, and it grows oftentimes faster than the rate of inflation. We've seen funding at the state level increase over the last decade, while our local communities have had to deal with cut after cut. What this tells me is that when lawmakers who go to Lansing and say that they want to shrink the size of government or make them do more with less, when they're forced to make those tough choices, they don't. And it's showing up in really odd ways. Things like continuing to invest in the Capital View Project, which is funneling over $100 million into a new office building for the state Senate to reward a large donor to the Republican Party. And at the same time, not being able to fully fund child care tax credits, being able to leave money on the table that could help with our assistance for food or heat bills for folks that need it, or ultimately even make college more affordable. These are things that are being left on the table.
So you'd like to expand background checks on gun purchases in Michigan. Are there additional regulations that you would want to put on firearms in the state?
For me, I think the big ones that I want to work on right now would be expanding background checks. So, this is an issue that's supported by 90% of folks. And what it says, it doesn't matter where you buy your gun, everybody should be subject to a background check. The second thing that I would love to see is some ways that we can help get ahead of potential problems. Other states have been very successful in passing gun violence restraining orders that can look at some of the points where individuals may be their most dangerous, and if given cause, that they could actually work through a process that involves the courts, a due process procedure that can then temporarily limit access to firearms to prevent someone from potentially taking their life or potentially injuring or killing an intimate partner. What we see is that the data suggests that in an intimate partner is 5 times more likely to die in a domestic violence situation compared if there's a gun in the home compared to a similarly situated victim of domestic violence. And I think this is really critical. The incidences where someone files for divorce and a couple of weeks before a potential restraining order could be initiated can be some of the most dangerous moments in that woman or man's life. And so there's some other states that are really innovating and just saying temporarily, if there is due cause, they can go through a process that restricts those access to those firearms just for those most critical moments. You know, there's been a number of articles that have come out lately that talked about suicide and the fact that a lot of folks may make the worst decision to end their life in just a moment, a very low moment. And when you look at the overall instances of gun violence in America and in Michigan, we see that, you know, the vast majority of firearm deaths really are through suicide. So I think if you said something besides background checks that we could be doing some work on, I think it's figuring out this mental health issue. It's having some positive intervention steps at the just the most critical moments. And these are ways that we can both protect our Second Amendment rights and make sure that we're limiting the potential for harm in our communities.
How do you think the state can prevent the next Flint?
The state can prevent the next Flint by holding folks actually accountable. You know, we could talk about all the individual decisions that were made in Flint. Partly, I believe this is a result of the emergency manager law, a takeover of local government, and then a disinvestment in our communities. But, you know, I would say the better piece here is that we have to really have a conversation about accountability. And it shouldn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. You know, one thing that should happen is when there are these true crises that happen, we should have to take off our individual opinion hats of how we got to the bottom, the start of this crisis, and get to the bottom of it by actually making folks testify under oath, by having real accountability measures. And it gives me pause that when given the chance to do this, yet again, we saw the Republicans in the legislature choose to have a stacked committee where there was a majority of Republicans versus Democrats on the committee. They've refused to invoke subpoena power to make sure that folks would testify under oath. And like I said, it shouldn't matter if you're a liberal or conservative. The reality is that we have an elected government. We should demand answers whenever this type of major incident occurs. And, you know, to give them a pass because we think it's partisan politics, I think does everybody a disservice.
So is Bill Schuette's effort then to bring criminal charges part of having accountability for what happened in Flint?
It is part of accountability, and I do, and I give the Attorney General credit. You know, I'm someone that says you should give people credit where credit is due. I was disappointed that my colleagues in the House refused to do that. And this is the second time. Remember when we had the Cindy Gamra and Todd Corser scandal last year? The same situation occurred. Why not have a balanced approach to an investigation? Why not use our full legislative powers to have people testify under oath? And, you know, this is about this idea that some people get a pass because of who they are, their connections, maybe to the wealthy or well-connected or their how much money that they have or, you know, the sort of influence that they get to yield. And that's a double standard. And that's the kind of thing I think when you ask people what's frustrating you about government, it's this two sets of rules for two different people. And this should be a nonpartisan issue that we can work together on and really hold people accountable.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans, speaking with John Hoadley. He is the state representative for the 60th District, which includes the city of Kalamazoo, as well as parts of the city of Portage and Kalamazoo Township. The Democrat is running for re-election in the 60th District. One of your issues that you've been pushing for a while, and you're not the first, is to say that Michigan needs some sort of redistricting reform. What would you want to do so that Michigan draws the boundaries differently for, say, your state house district, the congressional district we're in, et cetera?
So this is actually one of the areas that I have found that I love doing work on. I was assigned to the elections committee in my first term, in addition to the appropriations committee, and I have fallen in love with ways that we can shine more sunlight on the way government works and fix some of the structural problems that are creating barriers between our voters holding politicians directly accountable for their choices. So in addition to nonpartisan redistricting, which I want to talk about in just a second, I've been a champion for reforming term limits so we end the legislator to lobbyist pipeline. I would like us to see more efforts to reduce money in politics, and I've been proud to work across the aisle on those issues. And with Representative Gretchen Driscoll, I've been a champion of the Michigan Voter Bill of Rights, which would do things to improve access to the ballot, like no reason absentee voting for everybody. These are some of the things that if we passed all of them, could actually sort of break this grip where special interest money has an undue influence on politics. But regarding nonpartisan redistricting, you know, if you look at the way that we do redistricting right now, it's essentially a partisan-based activity that involves folks who are trying to protect their district, plus the use of supercomputers to best predict how they create optimal districts that may look incredibly funny, that meet the minimum standards set out in Michigan, the APOL standards, and then ultimately preserve, you know, these sort of legislative imbalances that currently exist. At its simplest form, people should elect their politicians. Politicians should not go pick their voters. What I have proposed, and also actually with Representative Moss collaboratively, we proposed a constitutional amendment that would create a nonpartisan redistricting commission that both acknowledges that they're partisan interests, so allows political parties to strike various members, that creates an element of chance, so it's harder to rig the system, that provides them resources to draw boundaries that both protect local municipalities as much as possible, while also looking at communities of interest. And then at the end of the day, you know, take some of this power away from the legislature to sort of rig the system in their favor. And it shouldn't matter if Democrats are in control or Republicans. You know, I've been actually talking about nonpartisan redistricting for years. So this is one of those things where I would love to see voters have a chance to weigh in on that in 2018.
A lot of Democrats have pointed out the inequities in the current system, where Democrats have won a majority of the vote for state house overall, let's say, in a given year. But because of the way the districts are drawn, they don't have control of the state house. The Republicans have the majority. But in what you just talked about there, you mentioned there's communities of interest. For instance, your state house district, you won 70% of the vote 2 years ago. But it would be tough to get two Democratic districts out of the 60th without breaking up the city of Kalamazoo. So how do you weigh those two things? Is it good for the city of Kalamazoo to be in one state house district, even if it means a little less partisan advantage for Democrats?
Absolutely. Right. And that's why I'm saying I'm willing to talk about and support this piece of legislation regardless of who's in the majority party. So in keeping things like the city of Kalamazoo whole, that also then doesn't excuse, you know, places like up in Grand Rapids, where if you look at the 76th district, it looks like a crescent moon. There are districts that are shaped like crosses. You know, we have some of the worst, some of congressional districts. You can drive on a 5-mile stretch and go through three congressional districts. This to me says that the process is broken. And it's really hard to say that voters can hold people accountable when the system's been rigged against them. And, you know, that's, I think at the end of the day, that's the key thing here. I get why people are frustrated. I'm frustrated when I see that we have districts that look like jigsaw puzzles. And when I see that, you know, people are chasing $10,000 checks instead of talking to 10 more voters. You know, this idea that by the time that you actually learn how the legislature works, you know, you're already kicked out and you're, you know, being forced to find your next office, right? So people are always on this treadmill where they're just running for their next office instead of serving their communities. And that's a criticism of both the left and the right. I would love to see us move in a direction where we can take some of that partisanship out.
So what is your idea for term limit reform?
I've supported two efforts. One is that Representative Ed McBroom, Republican from up north, he had one bill that would actually just remove term limits. A second bill would say you get a bank of 20 years. So you can spend those in the House or the Senate or some combination of them. But instead of what we have right now, where you're limited to 6 lifetime years in the House and up to 8 lifetime years in the Senate. And that forces people to then always be running for their next office instead of saying, you know, the folks in my community like me. They, you know, I'm trying to learn and just serve them. So I don't want to be worried about the next thing.
John Hoadley, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Gordon.
John Hoadley is a state representative in the 60th District, which includes the city of Kalamazoo, parts of the city of Portage and Kalamazoo Township. The Democrat is running for re-election this year. Both John Hoadley's Republican and Libertarian opponent in the 60th State House District were interviewed previously on West Southwest. You can find links to those segments at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.